Okay.
Okay, second application tonight, minor subdivision with bulk variance application number S-2/25, property and land acquisition LLC, 100 Denal Road.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hey, members of the board, my name is Ryan Kenny from the law firm of Stevens and Lee. Thank you for hearing us this evening. We're here tonight for a minor subdivision to create one additional lot, Denal Road. We have two witnesses tonight, to my left, your right. The first one will be our from our engineering firm, our surveyor, to talk through the site, and we have planning testimony. There is a bulk variance. The one variance that we do need, while 100 feet of frontage is required, we'll have 96. But as you'll see, this is quite a large and unique lot that, while fronts on several things that we would think to be streets, as it turns out, as private roads with property behind the lot that is owned by a homeowners association, it's only Denal Road that counts as a street. And for frontage, we do have enough for almost the 100 feet, and one variance will be requested for that. If I might just ask administratively, we provided our notice materials in advance. We have enough, Mr. Shamir, for jurisdiction?
Approve a notice, proof of publication, or an order. The board has jurisdiction tonight.
Thank you so much. We'll likely just have one exhibit. We have a set of slides. If it's all right to mark all of those together, if that's all right.
Sure.
Represent that there are 10 slides. The last one just says thank you, though, so we should be fairly quick with that. Bring Gregor, first witness, up and have him introduce himself and be sworn in and give his credentials.
You'd raise your right hand, please. You swear the testimony you're about to give is truthful.
I do.
Thank you. Please have a seat, and if you give us your name and spell your last name for the tape.
Thank you very much. My name is Craig Stratton. My last name is spelled S-T-R-A-T-T-O-N. I'm with Trenton Engineering Company. I'm a professional land surveyor in the state of New Jersey. I have a degree in engineering technology from NJIT. I've been practicing surveying for 6 years now, and I've testified before this board, Lawrence Zoning Board, and many other boards in Mercer County.
Mr. Chairman, if it's acceptable, we'd like to have him qualified as an expert in surveying this evening. Thank you so much. Craig, as we normally do, I'll start us off here on the second slide, just to kind of orient the board to where we're looking at. Is this a snippet of the township's zoning map with the blue arrow showing where the property is?
Yes, that's correct. That shows where our property is located.
And then zooming into three, this is an aerial photo, thanks to the Mercer County Property Information System. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
And that's kind of in the center of the screen, the interestingly shaped and large for the neighborhood lot.
Right. The highlighted crosshatched lot is our property.
And then going to slide four, this is an aerial view from a subscription service, Eagle View Connect Explorer. Maybe just to take a moment and take the board through the features here of the neighborhood and what's on the lot now.
So this property is very unique. As Ryan said, it fronts on Denal Road. The existing house faces Denal Road, so it has the appearance of fronting on Denal. It also has a small amount of frontage on Sturwood Way. As the lot extends towards the rear, it runs along the property that is part of the homeowners association. So for somebody just walking through the property, it would look like it fronts quite a bit on Sturwood, but there's actually more property between our land and Sturwood Way's right of way, other than what's shown at the closest to the intersection. We were hired to do the property survey for the applicant and prepare the minor subdivision that you see before you.
I'm going to interject a few times. We did get a couple of memos from the township's and board's professionals. We believe we can address everything in those memos. If, as I try to remember as we're going through the testimony, I'm going to flag a couple of things here, particularly so you can kind of see them on the site. So I believe on the right side of this, while it is wooded and covered a bit in this photo, that's an existing single-family home?
It is in there. It's quite obscured from the trees, but there is a single-family home on the lot, 100 Denal Road.
And one of the reports noted that there is an existing fence around that house that would cross the proposed lot line. That's something that the applicant is willing to address physically and as a note of the plan?
Yes. It's the intention of the subdivision to remove encroachments that would be over the new lot lines, that fence being one of them, a portion of the driveway also. And upon approval and subsequent engineering designs, that fence will be relocated.
Piggybacking off that slide 5, this is the existing condition survey that your firm prepared?
Yes.
Anything of note here you want to point out to the board?
Just keep note of the actual frontage on Sturwood. You can see the property lines are pretty clear. There's a small portion along Sturwood, and then it deviates from the Sturwood right-of-way as it goes towards the back.
And I'm actually going to go back a slide, back to 4. As you can see, behind the lot, if we you know, with the up being, I believe, north here, but away from Denal Road, that court behind it, while it might appear that this backs to a street or fronts to a second street, that's a private street and unfortunately doesn't count for our purposes.
Private road, part of the neighborhood behind us.
Yeah, okay. Moving ahead then to slide 6. This is a copy of the subdivision plan that you had prepared?
Yes, it is.
Can you take the board through how essentially this property would be divided up?
The intention of the applicant was to divide it in the way that's best suited for the subdivision, keeping in mind that we knew we would have a variance request of frontage, but it was divided in a way to make sure that both lots still have adequate land area. And it seemed like the best possible solution to maintain the character of the existing house on the lot at the corner while also creating a buildable single-family home lot next to it.
So this is slide 7. This shows on the left, I believe, the existing conditions, on the right, the color-coded, I suppose, two-lot configuration?
Yes, that's correct. And just to note, too, we are also intending to dedicate a portion of the frontage of the property to the township to maintain the frontage along Denal Road. It may be difficult to see, but the existing condition survey, you can see that our lot line extends beyond the right-of-way line of our neighbor. So we are dedicating to create a more conforming frontage in the neighborhood.
Actually, maybe I'll just go back some slides to show that. I guess that's what how the blue outlined lot here on slide 4 shows how it kind of jumps into Denal Road a little bit more than the neighbors to the left. Is that what you meant by that?
That's right.
And that'll get dedicated to the town for future...
For road widening purposes or anything else that might be needed.
Okay. Now, while we have this slide up, it might be helpful just to orient the board. You know, one thing you don't see on this corner, this part of the neighborhood, are sidewalks. So the board's professionals pointed that out, and you know, it's the township's desire to connect the neighborhood. Certainly the applicant is very willing to connect where Sturwood Way those continues. We'll do ask the board to consider to the left here, this would be the only kind of connecting sidewalk on Denal. We're not sure if that would be a particularly useful thing to connect to the two single family homes to the left that do not yet or currently have sidewalks. If it is the board's pleasure to request that, certainly we would comply. And our request, I suppose, for the condition for that to happen is because this is a subdivision where likely someone is going to come in and administratively design and approve a home with a curb cut, a new location, that those be done and designed at that time. One, that's when the construction would actually happen, and two, when the curb cuts would be thought out and placed so that you wouldn't be building a sidewalk and then cutting into it again separately when someone decides where the home is built. Going now to slide 8. If you could, Greg, just kind of take us through the particulars of the site, size-wise, and what the actual variance that's needed.
This is a blow-up of the zoning chart and the requirements for the existing lot as it compares to the requirements of the zone, and then also our newly subdivided lots as it compares to the requirements. As you see, the lot area for both Lot A and Lot B exceeds the minimum lot area. The only variance we would need would be for the frontage of 100 feet on Denau Road. We are splitting this practically right in the middle, maintaining the same amount of frontage for each lot. But unfortunately, we just don't have the amount necessary to create two lots with 100 feet of frontage on Denau, which is why you see it highlighted there for the variance. All the other conditions that would be created by this subdivision are conforming for this lot. And this chart here highlights that.
And from an area perspective, while both of the new lots would certainly be conforming, one would almost be twice the size, and the existing condition is just about three times what is required for the zone?
Right, yeah. Lot B, 41,000 plus square feet, where 22,000 is required.
I believe I had noted earlier that we would be able to comply or address everything that's in the memos that we had received. Just wanted to quickly, before we get to our planning testimony, just make sure we didn't miss any questions that any of your professionals had. One, perhaps you can address, I believe the existing home did have a public water connection to Aqua Dun, and that if there is an existing well, could be updated at a future date.
There is an existing well on the site, and it will be capped in accordance with the DEP standards. We have noted that as such on our revised plans, and that was a comment that was brought forth by the Township Health Department. And the well shall be properly sealed, and we make sure to note that on our plans. The intention for any future work is to connect the public utilities.
With the current home that's there that would remain has existing overhead utilities, is that correct?
That's right.
But likely the new home could be done with underground to match the current standards for the township. We have the planner's memo, I believe. The other piece with the street trees, similar to the sidewalks, we'd ask that at the time that the applicant or their successor, if it were to be sold, were to come forward to design the home, that would be the time to decide where and how many replacement street trees might be needed, because that would be the point where we know where the curb cut would be and the design of the driveway, so we're not planting a tree and then putting a driveway where a future home builder might want to put it. We also, while we have not done, I don't believe, a tree survey, I'm going back a few slides just to show the aerial photo. Greg, I believe, while obviously the new home, when it's built and designed, would comply with the township's tree removal ordinance, it does seem that there's quite a healthy area to build a home perfectly in that spot that would likely not require a lot of tree removal.
There are a lot of trees on the site. It's pretty heavily wooded as it gets towards the back. And yes, any design plan, of course, if trees were needed to be removed, they would be replaced in accordance with township standards.
Yeah. So as part of the subdivision, there's no planned tree removal. It's possible that in the future, when someone comes to design and build the home there, that there could be, but there's plenty of spot to do that without it, so likely would be minimal. Right, unless there's anything else you wanted to point out or address, and obviously happy to address anything we may have missed from your press release. My intention was to catch everything. I'm happy to yield to questions, Mr. Chairman, that your board or professionals have.
Any questions?
I do. We realize it's very narrow, and there's only a 15-foot setback from the neighbor on the other side of the existing home. So a way that, open it to the board too, to have a screen, a fence, or some type of vegetation that would separate the any new home coming in from the existing home on that street. There's already a white fence on at 100, which is going to be moved off because of the encroachment. But I'm just thinking of the neighbor on the other side because they're really very, very close to one another.
It is quite close, and I without speaking for our applicant or whoever develops this lot, just going from a personal experience, we do typically try to create perimeter borders for single-family homes in accordance with the wishes of the builder or the buyer. And it's certainly something we would entertain if our company were to do the work to design this lot.
And not necessarily for the entire lot, but just the where any structure or improvement that you'd be putting up there.
Right. We would design in accordance with the township requirements, but also want to create a nice looking and conforming neighborhood property.
And preserve the privacy of both.
Right.
And Jim, is that something that would be at time of an application be a condition or?
Yeah, I mean, the board could certainly make that a condition. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Did you say the fencing is going back up, or?
The fencing is going to be removed so that it would not encroach over the property line. So it's not going to go up again immediately, but it will be addressed again upon any sort of design. But we just wanted to make sure that any encroachments that would be created by this subdivision, if it was approved, would be removed. So and we'll also mark the property upon approval with markers to make sure that everybody in the neighborhood is aware of where the new lines are.
I'm not clear what the substantial public benefit or need outweighing the detriment to the zone plan is. The detriment being taking a conforming lot and turning it into two non-conforming lots.
Good luck. We do have a planner who will put that testimony on the record. I'm so happy to have, perhaps Paul, our planner, can address that, and that is the crux of the bulk variance request. But we'll after this testimony is in, we'll have him come and put that testimony on the record.
Just a quick question. Just for my clarification in my mind, the lot acreage-wise is like an acre and a half. Is that what I'm looking at?
Yes, that's right. Okay. We're about a half acre required. This is an acre and a half, so okay. Just a hair under what would be allowed to build three houses from an acreage perspective.
Okay. Is there anything you can tell about the existing house that's on the property? The type.
I don't know the exact square footage, but it's a colonial type dwelling. I would say it's roughly about, I don't know, I'm guessing here, 2,200 square feet, perhaps, and I could be corrected by our applicant, but it's a house that, and it's under renovation right now. They're fixing it up, but it's just a standard single family frame structure.
Good evening. I heard what you said about the private drive, the private roadway. And maybe you said it and I just missed it, but it looks like you've got at least 103 feet of frontage on Sturwood, and then room to play with on Donnell. Is there a reason why Sturwood doesn't count for frontage?
Would you mind going back to the existing conditions?
Can you go up one first? I might be able to. my children would say that I'm too old now to be successful with
So the short answer is probably a more competent technology person could blow this up. I am unable to achieve that at the moment.
Okay. How about the slide with the zone chart? I have something down. There we go. So we have 103 feet of frontage on Sturwood. Everything else is bordering private property as it goes back there. The reason why we didn't decide to divide this evenly on Sturwood is because of the placement of the existing house. There wouldn't be a way to split Sturwood in half with a subdivision that would create a lot, because you would be going, you'd probably end up creating side yard issues with that house. Okay, so that's why we decided that it was best to do it along Danau, go up along the side of the existing house and create a lot next to it with the variance that we need. So that was the decision in that.
Okay, so if you were to move the lot line 4 feet over and give us 100 on Danau, and then the other lot has 103 on Sturwood, there would be some sort of side yard issue?
I see what you're looking at there. Yeah, so you're saying, but then we would still have the issue would still be Danau. You know, I don't understand. We wouldn't be able to get 100 on Danau. Let me say that differently. One lot could have the frontage necessary on Danau, 100 feet, and take it away from the other one. But then we're just creating more of a detriment, because we need the 100 feet on Danau also.
Okay, one of these lots is a corner lot.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two new lots. Okay, so the corner has two sides that are on streets.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason why Sturwood wouldn't count for the corner lot and Danau wouldn't count for the other lot?
Well, you would still need 100 feet of frontage on that corner lot for both Danau and Sturwood.
Let me perhaps rephrase and I'll direct it. So I think what Craig is saying, that he believes that the corner lot has to front with 100 feet on both roads to comply, is I'm looking towards the township professionals.
He's rather desperate. You're about to get Ms. Trithel.
I do.
Sure.
I don't think that's the case. I appreciate the desire to be compliant along both, along what is really the main frontage, which is Danau. And I think that's the more important, but from a technical compliance perspective, I think if you had 100 feet on lot B,
yep.
And you've got more than 100 feet existing on Sturwood, you would not need the variances. I think there's value to the community design aspect to having a more regular to maximize the lot area, the lot widths on Danau. But from a technical compliance perspective, I think Mr. Denver is correct. You could eliminate the variances variances actually.
Well, that probably goes to the public good then.
One awesome thing to note about that, and I'm not going to pretend to be able to do the area calculation in my head, but taking a little bit more from Lot A is going to get us closer to the minimum lot area of 22,000. We're only at 23,005 the way it is now. So if we were to shave off a bit more, that would get us closer to that. Again, I'm not going to say it couldn't work, but we were certainly taking a look at that too to make sure that we weren't going under the minimum lot area.
And thank you, Mr. Denver. I think that's obviously an excellent catch and way to look at this. I will say, again, I think the testimony we'll hear from our planner will explain why we think this makes sense. I spoke to the applicant. Obviously, if it is not the board's desire to grant the variance, we would consider, be interested in seeking and conceding to a compliant design by moving that over 4 feet so that no bulk variance would be required. I think we're, with this design, and again, the planning testimony for the almost de minimis variance, I I hope you would agree that this is a better design under the C2 flexible standard, but again, we would be certainly willing to revise and have a compliant design if the board's not convinced on the, with the planning board. But excellent point. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, I need to explain exactly what you would, your concept.
The front has a different requirement than the sides.
Right.
So if we make the front one way and the front the other way, it works out if you move the line over 4 feet. But Beth was saying that the split on the now, which is really the main frontage,
right,
is more compliant with the idea behind our plans.
The ordinance requires one frontage to be at 100 feet.
Right.
And so Lot A, its compliant frontage is along Sterwood. There's
right.
no proposed change to that. They could shift the lot line for between lots A and B to the east 4 feet, and then they would have a compliant lot
B. The new lot, yeah.
The new lot would then be compliant. And so I think, so that's a way for the applicant to avoid the variances. It, as the board thinks about this, I think the question is whether or not you would rather have, whether or not there's value to having the frontage along Donau maximized for both lots A and B, but the result is that you've got 96 feet of frontage rather than 100 feet, and Lot A will still be compliant because that's along Sterwood, but you're basically trying to maximize the frontage of equally along both,
right,
for both lots.
Okay.
And Mr. Chairman, this is as not scientific as it can be, but I just kind of, you know, sketched on here, and this is not 4 feet, but imagine if this black line were shifted over to the right,
right,
4 feet,
mm-hmm,
in approximately that blue line, that would be
right.
The line.
I get it. Thanks.
Does it have anything to do with the design of the home? I know that there's work being done in terms of the frontage. Is that a reason why potentially the owner would opt for that option?
Well, the only negative with that is you're increasing the disparity in size. So you have one lot that's really barely at the minimum of 23,000. The other lot's almost a half an acre. So shifting that lot line to the east just makes that disparity a little bit more. I think it's probably better the way that it was submitted. Both lots are a little more equal in size.
Jim, what you just said, was that truthful?
That's truthful.
Yeah. Sure, that's all I have for this witness.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next witness will be our plan. Paul, if you could.
You'd raise your right hand, please. You swear the testimony you're about to give is truthful.
I do.
Thank you. If you'd introduce yourself and spell your last name for us.
Thank you. Paul Gleitz, G-L-E-I-T-Z.
You want to bring the board briefly through your credentials and
sure.
You're qualified as an expert here?
I'm a licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey. I'm also a member of the American Institute of Certified Planners. I have a Master of City Regional Planning from the Blackstone School of Rutgers University. I've been in practice for over 20 years. I've appeared before this board, half dozen boards in the county, and several dozen boards throughout the state as a professional planner.
Sure, if it's acceptable.
All right, thanks. I don't need to go over the project description or the private description. I think we all know where we are and what we're talking about. I think it is, we've talked about how, the existing lot shape, maybe like the three or four.
Anything like this?
Yeah, go back one more. You can really see how this is, it's an oddly shaped lot. It comes to a point, it's got the development behind it, the multifamily development behind it, and then you can see it has this buffer strip along Sterwood Way as it comes across, and it comes back to a point up in the northwest corner there. So we're not dealing with a perfectly square lot, but we're dealing with a lot that's nearly three times the size necessary in that zone. So we are at 100 Donau Road. We're at the corner of Danau and Sherwood. We're in the R2A residential zoning district, where single-family detached dwellings are permitted use. You also permit agricultural, farmstead, residential clusters, municipal use, those types of things. And your accessory uses are pretty much customary accessory uses in a single-family zone. The existing use we're talking about is a single-family residence. The proposed use is that same single-family residence and a vacant building lot for a new single-family home. We talked earlier about to the north is Sherwood Hamlet, which is attached multifamily townhousing. You have to the east, you have single-family homes. To the south, you have single-family homes, and then some woods, and then the I-295 corridor. And then you have single-family homes to the west. You can also note that further down to now, there's a long circular subdivision. So there's some kind of entrance developments. You have some townhouse developments. You have a number of different types of residential uses in the area. And it seems as if this piece we have left is what was left over. Once we built those subdivisions and had a few single family homes left, this is what's kind of left in this area with that old single family home sitting on the corner. So that's kind of the land use perspective I want us to be thinking about. So we've gone back and forth a little bit. Our initial request is for 96 feet of lot frontage, where 100 feet is required for both lots. There's also a pre-existing non-conformity of the minimum front yard setback of 40 feet, and the existing dwelling is at 33.9 feet. But again, that's a pre-existing non-conforming condition, but it's also part of the application. I reviewed your master plan and your zoning ordinance, and some highlights of the master plan. You know, the 2023 reexamination report had a number of goals and objectives that were kind of carried forward from the 1995 master plan, and then a number of other subsequent plans that occurred, including the sustainability element, your open space and rec element, your circulation plan, and your historic preservation plan. And you have a number of overarching goals and then some other singular goals. So the overall goals include providing harmonious and efficient allocation and ranges of land uses and protect property values of both Lawrence and the surrounding municipalities. And you're also looking to preserve and enhance the character of the built environment through the promotion of good design. Under community character, you want to provide for a continuation of high quality development and the retention of the remaining rural character in Lawrence. And you want to encourage new development to be compatible with the style and scale of the existing buildings. Under land use, you want to foster a well-balanced, diverse community with a mix of residential housing types, institutional, commercial, limited industrial uses, as well as open space and public facilities. Your objectives under land use also include to direct new development and redevelopment to places in relation to their transportation and environmental capacities, reduce the expenditure of energy through compact and efficient design and subdivision layout, discourage the introduction of incompatible land uses. Then under your housing plan and your housing goals, it includes provide through the township's land development regulations for a wide variety of housing types, including adequate living space for all persons and sufficient land for each dwelling unit to meet the needs of the current and future residents, and to promote individual ownership of housing in all areas of the township, as well as many other goals. I believe we can, I was prepared for the C2 variance, the flexible C, for the front yard, the lot frontage variances. You've heard some discussion before, given the shape of this lot and given, we could create a conforming subdivision for lot frontage, but it would add even more unusual shape to a lot that's already has an unusual shape. This subdivision is designed to try and create, at least the new lot would be a parallelogram, essentially, and the remainder lot would still take into that dog leg to the rear that's been part of this lot for quite some time. So under the C2, we kind of take a little journey through. We have five steps we have to take on the C2 variance, and the first one is to make sure that this application relates to a specific piece of property. This is an existing, legally existing lot on Sturward Way and Denell Road with an existing single-family home on the eastern side of the property. Sturward Way forms the entrance to Sturward Hamlet, which is this multi-unit, multi-family development to the rear of the property. There's this oddly shaped parcel between the property in question and Sturward Way. That's this buffer for the rest of the multi-family housing behind. And this is part of that, this is all part of Sturward Hamlet, and that minimizes the lot frontage on Sturward Way and creates a narrowing of the property in the north. And it creates a unique geometry and forces the orientation of the lot frontage to Denell Road. If that lot wasn't there and we had frontage all the way up Sturward Way, we'd probably be coming in with two lots that essentially front on Sturward Way, but we don't really have that option here. So we're and the development pattern really is for these single-family homes that face on Denell as you go in between these different developments. So under the positive criteria, we have to show that the under the flexible C that we support some of the purposes of the municipal land use, all the purposes of zoning. I think under the MLUL purposes, purpose E, which is to promote the establishment of appropriate population densities and concentrations that will contribute to the well-being of persons, neighborhoods, communities, and regions to preserve the environment. Like I said earlier, this is lot is almost three times the size of a lot in the zone, and we're now bringing it to two lots. So we're still meeting the residential density. We're over what's necessary on both lots for the minimum lot area. So we're still preserving your zone plan for what, you know, what's appropriate for single family homes in the zone. Purpose G is to provide sufficient space in appropriate locations for a variety of uses, including residential, to meet the needs of New Jersey citizens. Again, this is an appropriate location. We're providing adequate space. Both lots, the remainder lot will continue to be a fully functional single family home lot, and the new lot will be an oversized single family home lot. So they both have appropriate space and they're in good locations and they fit well within the surrounding land uses. And also purpose M, to encourage coordination of various public and private procedures and activities shaping land development with a view of lessening the cost of such development to the more efficient use of land. Again, I think this is an efficient use of this oversized lot that has a very odd geometry. We're not coming here for a three-lot subdivision. We're not coming here to create an even more outrageous shape to the different lots. What we're doing here is saying we have an oversized lot. Let's be reasonable. Let's get two lots out of it, and let's create geometries that make the most sense with the lot we have. Also, it also supports the purposes of your own large township master plan, which includes all those items I listed earlier in terms of the purposes of your zoning. Under the negative criteria, we talk in step three and step four, talk about the negative criteria. We want to make sure we can be granting these variances without substantial detriment to the public good. This is a reasonable approach to creating a new single-family home building lot that's compliant with all the other bulk standards, except for this, which is really a de minimis lot frontage. For the passerby, for the person walking by, they're not going to have a tape measure to know between 96 and 100. And I think you can see by the layout, there's adequate building envelopes provided on both lots. We're really not affecting the buildability of either lot in terms of this lot frontage deficiency. And the proposed lots maintain the residential character and the density of the neighborhood. And the surrounding areas has properties and adjacent zoning areas that are developed with higher densities and different bulk standards. So we fit really well into this on this particular piece of property. In terms of the zone plan and general welfare, we advance purposes of the master plan. We don't have any negative impacts on the goals or objectives of the master plan. We advance three purposes of the zoning for the MLUL. Neighborhood and community character is protected. We're going to have another single family home and a line of other single family homes on both sides of the street. And again, use of the land and the buildings in terms of intensity, coverage, bulk and occupancy, traffic generation, parking requirements, all this stuff is consistent and similar to all the other properties surrounding it. So we're not going to have a negative impact in that way either. So I think the final step is to balance. We have this balancing act at the end of the CQ to do the benefits from the derivations outweigh the detriments. And I think, like I said earlier, the lot frontage is really pretty de minimis in terms of 96 versus 100 feet. The new building lot exceeds lot standards for lot area by nearly 100%, and the remaining bulk standards can be met by the proposed remainder lot and the new lot. Real briefly, if necessary, to address the front yard setback on lot A, that would be under the C1 variance test under the hardship. The only reason why, for this particular example, it's a pre-existing non-conforming condition, the only remedy would be to move or demolish the structure. And that would be a pretty big hardship on the applicant to have to remove portions of the structure or the entire structure itself. It's been in this area for quite some time. It has adequate landscaping around it. As you can see, it's hard to find it with a leaf-on aerial photo. The front yard setback to Danau is compliant and matches the remainder of the neighborhood. The frontage on Sturward is wooded and part of the access drive to the Sturward Hamlet. So there's no impact on the surrounding properties. The overall subdivision maintains the residential density in the zone and advances the purposes of zoning. So I think you can find, if necessary, the C1 variance for the pre-existing condition of the front yard setback. And that's my direct testimony.
Any questions on this?
Okay, I just have a minor comment on the intersection, not really for you, Mr. Glantz, I don't think, but the intersection of Sturwood and Danau, so for the sidewalk, typically you have a little radius or the diagonal so that you have room for the sidewalk to wrap around there, if it's approved, if that can be part of the right of way.
You're saying the property lines come to a hard corner?
Yeah. I
don't know if there's, I haven't studied the right of way. There may be perfectly reasonable and right of way there to accommodate a sidewalk without having that.
They're dedicating right of way as part of the frontage. So I think we're just saying to provide a little bit of a curve there to adjust that dedication to allow for the sidewalk to be in the right of way.
Because it's deeded.
Right, that's a good idea too, because you're not building the sidewalk at the time of the subdivision, you're going to wait, so in essence that'll give the ability of that new owner to be able to build that sidewalk, it'll be in a right of way.
Template for where it should go.
Right.
There are other sidewalks there already. Is this in the sidewalk?
Not right there.
Mm-hmm. I just didn't say, because that comes around the curve, isn't it?
There are sidewalks two houses down.
Yeah.
Okay, so connecting to those other sidewalks.
The Sturwood one would connect.
Okay. And then the sidewalk along Danau, if they provided along their entire frontage, there would then be two houses immediately to the west for which there's no sidewalk, and then sidewalks continue further west.
Okay. And they're currently making improvements working on the existing home, right? That is there?
Correct.
So it's remodeling and, okay. So it'd be an
maybe a comment more for the board attorney, but if we were to, and I'm looking back at our surveyor as well, if we were to round off that corner, so make sure from a variance perspective that does perhaps change the 96 feet to a, no?
That wouldn't impact the frontage.
Okay, excellent.
We haven't heard from the neighbors yet on how this is impacting, but we've always been trained that we have to deal with the facts that we're given, not the ones we like to have. And I think in this instance, we have to deal with this odd-shaped parcel and not one that we ideally would like to have. And I think, frankly, it's a good use of it. It's an odd backyard, so to say, if you want to say it, but I think on Donnell Drive, it's adequate for what it is, notwithstanding, you know, I think the de minimis lack of frontage requiring a variance.
I'll just say I agree with Alan, but I want to see the sidewalks.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Definitely.
And for me, it wasn't. It was more that a compliant arrangement would actually be less good planning. So I think that that it improves the planning outcome, which was the real test for me. So I was a no in the beginning because I didn't feel that the positive and the negative were met, but you convinced me otherwise.
Any other questions from the board?
Yeah. We do have public.
Right? Yeah. Any questions from the public? Okay. All right, moving on. Motion.
Motion here with the conditions we discussed.
Unless you had any other testimony.
No, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
More. This evening has been that way.
No, I'm not going to.
So I saw Mr. Shula moved it. Did we get a second?
Mr. Hendricks did.
Okay. To be clear, sidewalks are to be a part of this.
Sidewalks would be
as well
part
as the street
condition.
Trees and the construction of
and the fence.
And the
some
fence.
Type of buffer between
the
existing.
The landscaping. Oh, the yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yep.
We got it.
Okay.
And just to be clear on those conditions, those could be finalized and installed at the time of the future administrative
right.
approval.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I do have one quick question. Is this an arm's length transaction between, does the property, existing property owner, is there a relation that's going to be going to the other, or is it just
so
built
as,
this back
as in? As of now, it is a common ownership. It's possible that the owner would just outright sell the lot, an arm's length transaction in the future.
Okay.
There's not currently plans to design a home.
Okay.
Good. Okay. Mr. Nowinski?
Yes.
Mayor Farmer?
Yes.
Ms. Connolly?
Yes.
Mr. Duran?
Yes.
Mr. DeShula?
Yes.
Mr. Duran?
Yes, again.
Actually, I'm sorry. I should have said Mr. Denver the first time. I skipped over to Denver. See, I don't do this very often.
Where's Jen?
See, I'll begin with the J. Yes. Mr. Denver. Okay. Mr. Leggett?
Yes.
Ms. Lovelace?
Yes.
And Mr. Hendricks?
Yes.
There you go. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Just do a motion.
Yeah, an oral motion to go into closed session.
So you need to make an oral motion to go into closed session.
And then,
do you want me to close the
motion?
We want to close it after old and new.
Stop.
New
business.